Sitting on a bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Tom Raftican. And we'll talk a little bit about more about Tom a little bit later, and it'll come out through the show about what he's been doing and the efforts that he has done with doing some tremendous things. I don't want to build up his ego too much, but he's been very successful in enhancing the fisheries in the ocean and all over the globe, actually. But right now, we are going to Brian Lockwood, a.k.a. Jet Ski Brian. Brian, first of all, tell us where you are.
Hey, John. Physically. I'm in Virginia in a little town called Pocosin, Virginia, which is right off of the lower area of the Chesapeake Bay. I'm probably about 20 miles from the Atlantic Ocean in the Chesapeake Bay.
Okay. And give us a quick idea why they call you Jet Ski Brian.
I was kind of pinned with that name several years ago by another radio host locally, as a matter of fact. And there's a local guy here that's been big into kayak fishing named Kevin. And everyone refers to him as Kayak Kevin. So when I started fishing on my jet ski, everyone started calling me Jet Ski Brian.
Okay.
So I kind of have gone with that, but it's primarily because I fish on my jet ski or my PWC.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is I'd like to start off by having you give us some information that, you know, when I heard it, I go, wow, are you kidding me? You can do that? And I think that Tom is even going to be surprised, and he already knows pretty much everything there is to know about fishing, but I think we're going to teach him a few tricks.
This is the first time I've heard of people fishing off jet skis, so this is kind of interesting.
Not only fishing off jet skis. I mean, you can imagine. Oh, yeah, you troll the line. Brian, why don't you go ahead and introduce us to your jet ski, what you have on it, and what your range is, and where you go.
Okay, it's kind of been a progression over time, but I've modified several PWCs. There's a local fabricator, Martin's Custom Structures, here that helped me do all this. But basically I have, and I'm looking out the window right now to describe it to you, but I have rod holders, I have coolers, I have a GPS chart plotter, I have underwater lights, navigation lights, an external extra fuel, 12-gallon fuel tank, a fuel transfer pump. Probably some other things too that I'm not thinking about. Actually, one of them I have a stereo with two 500 watt speakers.
500 watts.
VHF radio built into it. So I've made my jet skis into small little fishing platforms.
Okay.
With all the bells and whistles.
Hey, Brian. My question after seeing a lot of jet skiers out there, did you put a muffler on the thing?
No, not yet.
Well, I think that most of us, when we talk about jet skis, they're a nuisance to anglers, but yours is a whole different situation. One other thing you didn't mention, what about bait tank or a cooler or something for taking bait or preserving the fish?
Yes, I do have coolers on all the jet skis.
Okay.
One of them I have in the past used, basically I modified a cooler and made it into a live well. I do a lot of live baiting here, but I don't necessarily need to keep them alive as long because I'm doing shorter trips. And I'd say my favorite bait here is live eels, and they're actually very easy to keep alive, so I don't really need a live well for that.
Hmm.
I usually just keep them in a bait bucket and just every 30 minutes just dunk it in that. But I have used spot and croaker for live bait for like amberjack fishing and striped bass fishing, but I've found it's easier for me just to put them in a bucket and constantly keep on dunking it instead of trying to put a live well on a jet ski because the weight of the water alone can
kind
of make it pain.
Exactly.
Pain in the butt.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I think it's going to raise a few eyebrows. When you get on this boat, fishing machine, or personal watercraft, or however you want to classify it, you put it in the water. What is your range?
I have a couple different models, but the most recent model I have is a newer Yamaha FXHO, and it has a range without any extra fuel of about 90 to 100 miles. And with me having added the extra fuel tank, I have a range of about 180 miles.
So you could go 80 miles offshore and come back safely.
Yes, and actually I've taken the furthest I've been offshore was last year. I went 100 miles off of Virginia to a place called Norfolk Canyon. and I was the first angler in Virginia to deep drop on a jet ski for a tile fish. So I caught some mahi, some tile fish, and some small grouper on my PWC. And that was, of course, with a buddy boat that I fished with that mm-hmm. day. And a lot of people, even on boats, buddy boat for that kind of a trip. But mm-hmm. most of my offshore trips are out of Hatteras, North Carolina, where I typically go 30 to 40 miles offshore for an amberjack and mahi.
That's a long wow. way. I mean, I would think, you know, even with the buddy boat, are there safety issues out there with the jet ski?
There's safety issues on a PWC, just like there is a boat. It is just a single engine, so there's always that chance, okay, if your one engine goes down, that's it. So when I do a trip offshore like that, whether it's a long trip or even 30 or 40 miles out, it's usually me and friends that are on boats or other friends that are on jet skis. I do have several friends here that do it, mm-hmm. and a guy named Rob Cowling and right. and another guy named Todd here locally both have PWC, so I don't go yeah. that far off by myself. It's
buddy
usually
system.
With other people.
Mm-hmm. You know, hey, Brian, I think of, you know, jet skis and PWCs. I think, you know, it's kind of like almost like riding horseback. The analogy, I mean, you know.
You go a long ways on a horse.
You go a long way on a horse, too. But you know, you get awful sore pretty quick. I suspect that you're used to this and pretty well. But, you know, for the average person, you know, is there a good range for, you know, I mean, for a first timer on something like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It is kind of like riding a horse. I mean, if you haven't done it for a while or if you've never done it, you're definitely going to feel it by the time mm-hmm. you get back or the next day. But it's just like anything else. It depends on the conditions. If it's rough out, obviously you're going to get beat up and feel pretty rough the next day yourself. And if it's flat and glassy, then it's not that bad.
Yahoo!
So it just depends on the trip. I'll give you, like, to go offshore on a Hatteras, it takes me probably an hour and a half to 2 hours just to get to the fishing grounds. And most people, yeah, they feel it. And typically what bothers people the most is their fingers from holding the throttle.
Oh, yeah, grabbing, right.
It's not like a motorcycle where you throttle it with your whole hand. On a PWC, you're using your fingers or your thumb. So that's what usually gets to most people first is their fingers just hold the throttle.
Well, Brian, a quick observation. A jet ski, as opposed to a lot of other things, actually is very stable in the water. You don't really hear of them tipping over because the way that they're designed and the way that they're built. So I think that, you know, that's important, especially to me. But the other thing is, obviously, it depends on the water. But if assuming that you have reasonably calm seas, how fast can you go?
Even in rough sea conditions, it all depends on the directions of the wave, no different mm-hmm. than a boat. If I have head seas, I'm going slow, depending on the size of the head seas. But say if it's 3 to 4, even 5 to 6 foot, if it's coming to my beam, you know, side two, it doesn't really slow me down. I can do 30 or 35 or 40 miles an hour. But if I'm going head seas into a 3 to 4 foot chop,
obviously,
I'm only doing 15 to 18, sometimes 20 miles an hour. But you're driving it totally different than you do a boat.
Well,
I've had
right.
seven boats up to 34 feet, so this is... It's a mm-hmm. different way of driving, well, so you can handle the seas.
Well, that's still twice as fast as, say, a 25 to 35-foot boat.
Yes, and they're capable of 60 miles an hour plus, and it's very rare that in the ocean or the bay that you can go that fast. I mean, a typical day I'm doing 30 or 35 miles an hour, but I've had days where I've gone 60 miles offshore, and I made it there in an hour and 15 minutes.
Brian,
but those are very few and far between.
Brian, I would think even on flat water out there, you know, my question is, you know, you got a bait tank with whether it's live eels or
mm-hmm.
bunker
a lot of weight,
you know, going out, or on the way back if you've got a fish box full of fish. I mean, what does that do to the balance on something like that? Does that work out okay?
Yeah, actually, everything I've done with the modifications, the fuel and the extra batteries and things like that, because I've kind of done it so that I'm balancing the weight.
Right.
Same thing with fish. Typically, when I'm going offshore, I carry a 72-inch fish bag, and I carry ice in the cooler.
Right.
So I put my catch in the bag, and then I put ice in the bag, and then I strap
it down on the back and ride
it back with me.
Brian, I'm sorry. We could have talked to you for hours, but we don't have that. So give us some real quick 20 seconds information on how to get in touch with you.
Okay, I got a couple different ways. One is my
just one way.
JetskiBrian.com.
Okay.
And I just started a new company.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry, JetskiBrian.com. Thank you, Brian.
Yes.
All right,
appreciate that.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara. Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that dries the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
Bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work.
Bad day of fishing just welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Tom Raftican. Hey, Tom, that was interesting. There's no question about it. And who knows? You know, we're going to follow this story. I think that jet ski fishing, is probably going to...
With a 500-watt stereo, I'd follow from a distance.
There you go. Sounds exciting. But anyway, we're going a little bit of a different direction right now. We have Brian Blushell. Let me make sure I pronounce this correctly, Todd, because I don't think I've even heard your last name. Is it Blushell?
Yeah, just blue light color and then shell.
Okay.
Blushell.
Blushell. Okay, well, that's easy enough. Now, you have something called Fish, Food, and Feel Good. And I thought, what's that about? Well, I've learned a little bit about what it's about, but why don't you go ahead and tell us what it is about, and then I'm sure that Tom's got some questions about you, and I'm sure he's going to be excited to hear what you're doing.
Okay, well, kind of like your mission statement, which is to get off the couch and help lead conservation and sustainable fisheries. What I did is I created about 4 years ago a charity, a 501c3 here in San Diego, whereby I collect all the extra, the unwanted sport-caught fish. I collect those for free from the fishermen, and I donate them to local charities here in San Diego for free. So there's no exchange of money. I basically act as a liaison, getting the fish from the sport fishermen to the charities.
What a great project.
Thanks. Yeah, it's as I'm sure you both know, it's kind of one of those things that happens. There's often extra fish, and there's always been a lot of really charitable fishermen that have done something charitable with those fish. But I wanted to create a really seamless and user-friendly method, one that would always be there for the fishermen. They know they could count on. So whereas if they caught more fish than they needed, then they could have a way now to give that to people who need it. And there are definitely people here in San Diego and America that need some nutritious fish.
Mm-hmm. Todd, I mean, how much fish do you deal with normally? I mean, this sounds like a great project.
Well, yeah, thank you. Last year in 2012, I collected over 18 tons of fish. I fed over 80,000 people here in San Diego, and every year it just grows exponentially, bigger and bigger. And with those numbers, I like to just preface it by that those are just sport caught fish. There's nothing here commercial. It's all sport caught fish. And I suppose I should also preface that by saying that, there's absolutely nothing overly taxing. There's no excessive harvesting that the sport fisherman does. This is all legal. It's all within the realm of what we're allowed to catch. And one last fact I want to just make sure you and your audience know is that the sport fishermen, we harvest less than 1% of all the pelagic fish in the ocean. So there's absolutely nothing overly taxing that the sport fishermen are doing. We target our quarry. We're surgical about it. You know, I don't want to be beating up the commercial guys, but they're the ones out there with the long lines, the trawlers, the dredges. And so I just wanted to make those facts kind of clear to your audience.
Yeah, those are good facts. I think the other thing is that in certain fisheries, recreational fishermen do take a fair amount. I mean, we're not talking tunas, but, you know, if you look at nearshore species, we probably are the major, certainly the basses locally, you know, calico, sand bass, spotted bay bass. We are the big take. I, you know, So, you know, it depends on, those are good figures, but, you know, keep them, also keep them in context. Mm-hmm. So,
I did mean to differentiate the context, like you said. I thought I prefaced it by saying pelagic, the bluefin, the yellowfin, right. The yellowtail, the albacore, the wahoo. Mm-hmm. Those are the fish that I'm talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Todd, let me make a couple of comments. First of all, in the past, we've covered a lot about the San Diego Long Range Fleet. And it's something that's unique. It's different from anything in the world. You get on a boat in San Diego, but it's really more of a mini cruise ship. And they'll go out for 3, 5, 7, 10, 15, 18 days. And they travel, you know, 1,500, 2,000 miles or whatever. Well, actually, more probably 2,500 round trip. And they, you know, they do that so that, because they can take the bait that you can get here that you can't get there. And frequently they come back with a lot of fish, and more than most people could fit in their freezer. So that really, it's a great idea. One other thing that I'll just kind of mention what you're doing is that a friend of mine by the name of Walt Topping, he loves to fish. He likes fish. But what he does is when he goes, he comes back, and every time that he goes out, he gives it to the church that he goes to. And, you know, of course, they all want him to go fishing more often because he'll go down to Mexico and, you know, come back with 50 or 100 pounds of fillets, you know, and then they'll have a, you know, an event or something, and he supplies a fish. But, you know, most people, you know, they come back and they go, man, I got a lot of fish. So, you know, and you pay to process it. Now, the other thing I think you mentioned is that in the process, the people that come back, it goes directly, and this is sushi-grade fish because the San Diego fleet with the chilled seawater, they maintain that fish at below 32, but it's not frozen. And it is sushi-grade. So they'll come back and they'll take it to the processor, and then the charity, I guess, pays for the processing. But what they're ending up with is not something that's left over from a supermarket, you know, or day-old produce or bread. I mean, this is really good stuff.
No, you're absolutely right. On all points you just mentioned, San Diego, I think the finest fishing fleet in the world. We do have an amazing opportunity for sport fishermen to come to San Diego. I'm actually trying to work with the city and a couple politicians to create San Diego as a more of a destination for fishing, not just only America's finest city, but I think we have America's finest fishing city. The fish that the fishermen do catch here in San Diego, it's sushi quality, and the processors turn it into amazing fish. I'm sorry, amazing product. And I'm very fortunate to receive some of that bounty. And I welcome any of your listeners to come to any of the charities that I donate fish to. And if you want to see somebody happy, you watch them eat some of this sushi grade fish.
Yeah. I mean, what is this?
The charities are quite used to serving, you know, with food that they can get, whatever they can get. And that includes a lot of pasta, a lot of your grains, a lot of your add water to and stir type of foods. And here they're one day on fish day when they get this fresh tuna. It's just, you know, I mean, there's a lot of big smiles.
I bet. What kind of cherries, I mean, what type of cherries do you give to?
Yeah, okay. The charities I give to here in San Diego are Father Joe's. He pretty much houses thousands of homeless people. He feeds over 4,000 to 5,000 people every day. I give it to San Diego Food Bank, San Diego Rescue Mission, Samoa Independence, and then Meals on Wheels, which feeds the elderly here in San Diego.
Cool. That sounds like a pretty good list of places to go with that.
Well, once again, they just give it to me, and I'm the one that disperses it. So that's why it's kind of really nice and user-friendly for the fishermen, and I welcome any fisherman to contact me through the charity, which is real easy to Google. It's just fish and then food and feel good. I wrote feel good into the title because, trust me, you'll feel good once you
feed. Well, now let's go back to that. It's fish, food, and feel good. Feel good. Fish, food, and feel good. And I go, what the heck is that? Well, obviously the fish. And the feel good is the part when you can go out and look forward to bringing stuff back and giving it to people, but otherwise, well, shoot. I mean, even no matter how much money you have, there's not too many people that get the opportunity to get this kind of quality of fish. And so, you know, you get the fish and you get to, you know, feed them and feel good about the whole process.
Yeah, once again, you've you're 100% correct. And the point I alluded to earlier about the fact that us sport fishermen, we can feel good about catching and keeping sport cut fish. The reason I mention that is because I don't want anybody to ever feel like they are, should not feel bad about collecting and giving these fish to people who need it. The sport fishermen, we're allowed 20 fish per person per day, and that's by law. And if a fisherman catches, if he's good enough to catch those 20 fish or lucky enough, then, hey, by all means, take those 20, and if you only want 5 of them, give me the other 15, and I'll make sure that people are thoroughly enjoying that food.
Well, you probably make a whole ton of money doing this, don't you?
Yeah, I wish. I've spent many thousands of dollars, but I don't take one penny. This is all my charitable side. I do all this just, like I said, for the feel-good part of it. I don't make a penny.
Well,
and that's by law. I'm not allowed charge one penny for this fish.
Oh, okay.
Sport cut fish, there can't be any exchange of money at all.
Well, I've always thought money comes in different forms, or it means different things. And obviously you benefit from it, but it's not financially.
I only benefit from it by the love I receive.
Right.
I get a lot of feel good.
Yeah, well, I bet you got a lot of that in the bank.
I do feel like my karma bank's getting full, and I'm like,
that is now. You're out of San Diego. We're getting close on time, but let's give us an idea about how that can spread and what you would like to do to help that spread.
Okay. Yeah. I've been doing it about 4 years now, and, as you said, a lot of fishermen come to San Diego because we have a very unique fishery here. But then when they go back home to their local ports in Louisiana, Florida, Maine, or Oregon, other locations, they kind of start wondering why this type of a charity can't exist in their own home port.
Okay.
So I'm trying to expand nationwide, and my goal is I'd like to see this replicated nationwide, and I have a goal of how many I'd like to feed. And
that's
really
awesome.
It's a really user-friendly charity. There's no real reason why we can't have this type of a thing in other fishing ports.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we got about less than a minute now, so let's do a couple of things. And who knows, maybe Tom might get interested in this and see if he can kind of push you in the right direction. But give us some contact information.
Okay, once again, it's just Fish Food Feel Good. You can just Google it. I have a nice website on there with a bunch of pictures, everything on there. Tom, feel free to give me a call, and we can chat if you'd like to help me out. Anybody, if you are interested in helping out the charity, we're doing a fundraiser here in a couple weeks. It's a day-and-a-half trip, and even though the trip's already sold out, you can still kind of sponsor the charity by going to the website.
Okay.
And kind of sponsoring me like
Sounds
a fishathon.
Got it. Okay, well, I think we are getting the music, so it is the website is Fish Food Feel Good, is that right?
Well, no, it's actually f3g.org. I simplified it.
Okay, f3g.org. Okay, thank you, Todd. We appreciate that. Keep going what you're doing. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with you.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolffish,
perfect.
Halibut, hig,
permit. Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have our original co-host or host, Tom Raftikin, who's glad to see your smiling face on here again. You've been busy, 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 and a little bit later after we get through with some business, we're going to talk to you some more. Right now, let's get down to business because we have the queen of the sport fishing in Cabo San Lucas, which happens to be the fourth sport fishing capital of the world. And Okay. I'm sorry. I guess we got Minerva on the line, I think.
She's not there. Pay attention. Let's go.
Anyway, we're going to get right back with Minerva, I'm sure. Did we have her there? Okay, well, we're going to call her right back. It's Mexico, and sometimes the lines go a little crazy.
Hang on.
Okay, have we got it? Minerva! No, okay, well, we're going to be right back. Anyway, Tom,
yeah,
let's talk just for a second about some of the things, you know, that you're up to these days.
The best thing we've got going on right now is the thing called best fishing practices. And actually what best fishing practices are, how do we as recreational fishermen do a better job of doing what we're doing? And it's about catching fish, but it's not all about catching fish. Well, we got a little bit of a dial tone. Still trying to get Minerva there. But, John, best practices is how do we do a good job in making sure that if we release a fish that it survives. The National Marine Fisheries Service goes and does really good statistics. And when you look at year-round on this stuff, recreational fishermen release 60% of the fish we catch. We release more fish than we actually take home. So how we treat those fish is extremely important. And what we're doing with the best fishing practices is making sure that we do a good job taking care of that. And we've got a seminar coming up, Best Practices Workshop, which will be August 10th in Channel Islands Harbor. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Sounds good. Keep doing the good work. Minerva, do we have you this time?
Yes, I'm standing by.
There you go. Gosh, and I can picture that. Boy, you're kind of in the middle of the season right now, and why don't you give us an idea about what's happening? And I did say the sport fishing capital of the world, that may be a little bit exaggerated, but not by much. There's certainly more striped marlin caught and released in Cabo San Lucas than anywhere in the world. And, you know, you fish year-round. It's, as you know, it's one of my favorite places, and you're my favorite person to fish with. So give us an idea what's going on.
I don't think you're far off, John. After the numbers that we caught and the sizes in tuna last year, the first week of November, I just can't even imagine anywhere else in the world catching that kind and that size of yellowfin tuna in a two-day tournament. It was incredible. So I believe that we really stand out when it comes to Dorado, striped marlin, and tuna. And right now, we are seeing the Dorado beginning to come in, and they're beginning to come in big. They're still far away, but they're really coming in nice. And the striped marlin are schooling up right outside. Every boat's averaging 2 to 3 billfish a day.
You know what? When you say right outside, Minerva, it's not like right outside over there. I mean, as soon as you leave the harbor, you can put your line in the water.
That's right. That's another thing that makes it so sweet when you fish in Los Cabos and at the tip of the Baja, is you don't have to go very far. It's nothing like a 6-hour drive on a 45-foot haddorish, you know, out of Texas or something like that. It's you just come in, you just get out in there, turn right or left when you get out of the marina, and within a half an hour, you're hooking up.
Yeah. Sometimes less. I know I've been fishing down there for a long time, and I can remember one time in particular that we had a little tournament going with us guys, and the boat were all in except one, and this guy was by himself because his other guys couldn't make reveille, and
yeah.
As it happens sometimes in Cabo. That was a long time ago, Minerva. We don't do that anymore. But anyway,
right.
But anyway, he was, he checked in, and they were right outside of the Solmar, which is just a few hundred yards from the tip, and they had nothing. So we're high-fiving, and we won the jack prize. And guess what? The SOB hooked up less than half a mile from the marina and took the prize.
But, oh, yeah. Hey, listen, you know what, John? One of the greatest times of the year is when the sunset cruise boats, you know, the Pescatos and the pirate ships, they're taking a sunset ride, and they're seeing marlin schooling up 10 minutes out of the harbor.
Well, maybe we should go out in the morning, come back, have lunch, and go back out again. Of course, the captain may not like that.
It has to be the right time of the year. Yeah. That's not something we want to do every single day, but you can do that when they're right outside the door.
Man, that sounds great. And along with the marlin, you said you got some pretty good Dorado going on there right now, too.
Yeah, and that just picked up yesterday. We've been waiting for those fish, those golden fish, you know. And yeah, we're getting reports from San Jose that the Dorado have come in and they're big. So that's exciting.
How big are any idea of the exact size on those things? Are they?
Well, we consider it, you know, a nice day anytime you can catch over 20-pound Dorado. And the few people that I spoke to last night, they were telling me that they each caught like one 22-pounder. Another guy caught a 25-pounder. So we're beginning to see them, and that makes us real happy. That way you can catch billfish and you can catch dinner.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Get some get a Dorado so you got dinner taken care of, and then go have some fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Minerva, let's kind of tell the world a little bit about Minerva. Yeah, I don't want to go into great detail because you're just a child, but you started off down there. You've been there, what, 30 years, I think?
36 years since October.
Shit. Wow.
36 years in the fishing business, one of the pioneers of the marina here in Cabo San Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I got here when there was only like 6 charter boats, and we were actually one of the first charter boats to go into work with diesel engines, and it's been an exciting life, I'll tell you. That, you know, I wouldn't have traded it for anything, and I'm still madly in love with Los Cabos.
Yeah, well, you certainly have had a lot to do with the success of what's been going on down there. You've got a great fleet. And of course, the tackle shop that you have is at it's not Minerva's. It's what's the name of the tackle shop?
It's Minerva's Baja Tackle.
Baja Tackle, yeah, Minerva's Baja Tackle. And then of course the fleet, which your husband actually operates the boats, and you kind of stand at the store and charm all the customers. But but you know, if you're down there, you know, some people take their own gear, but my recommendation is whatever you buy is probably not what you need. First thing you do is go down there, go see Minerva at Baja Fishing Gear the day before, and she knows exactly to the day, you know, what's happening and what you need, and you've got a full selection.
John, you're so right on. I mean, you know, having that local background, you know what's there, and that's the real benefit. You know, in Minerva, I mean, you're there, you know exactly what's going on, exactly what's biting, exactly what type of gear to use. It's, you know, it's quite a resource.
Yes, well, that's what we want to be. We want to be a one-stop fisherman shop. We want to be the place that everybody comes to, and we
tell stories.
Have, you know, our integrity to say, we'll steer you in the right direction, even if it's not with us.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, it's just, you know, it's a thing, and you just go in there, and all the people that go fishing come in and talk to you, so you're kind of the hub of what's going on down there.
Yeah, I love it. I look forward to putting in a coffee shop here.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
Well, no, no, wait a minute. You got that cooler there with ice water in there. That's what I go in there for.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, you talk about being, you know, if you're there for 36 years, that's the testament. I mean, it's the test of time, and it's like, hey, look, this is, you know, this is the place. This is where to meet.
I'm picturing Minerva standing behind a counter when she was 6 years old.
Yeah, well, those were some great days, and they still are.
Minerva,
I mean, it's so exciting to see the average tourist come through here and say, we've never done this. We're looking forward to
doing
exciting.
This. That's exciting.
And then come in the next day and tell me they caught and released a billfish.
Right. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with, you can always go to fishtalkradio.com, and over on the left-hand side of the homepage is Minerva. So give her a call. You can email, but she'll talk to you. Just give her a call.
I look forward to seeing your listeners here, John.
Okay, well, we're going to talk later about what's going to happen the rest of the year. But right now, we're going to go and do some local stuff. So thank you, Minerva.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Right. Bye-bye, boys.
All righty. And right now, we're going to go a little bit farther north, Tom, if you don't mind. We're going to go from Baja Sur, go past Baja del Norte, Southern California, Central California, up to another one of the favorite places is Lake Shasta.
Ooh.
And we have Patrick on the line that's going to give us an idea. Now, you may not be, I don't know if you had a chance to listen, Patrick, but we're talking about marlin and warm water fishing in Cabo San Lucas. You may not have those, but you got some great fishing. So tell us about it real quick.
All right. Yeah. Right now, since the lake is a little bit lower than usual, up at the McLeod arm at least, we're getting a little more water flow in there rather than just a still lake, which makes it great for rainbow trout fishing. Some of our employees go up there on their days off and catch 50 to 60 a day.
Well, wow. And the other thing about Lake Shasta, it's not just the fishing, and it's not just the lake. You know, if you've got an RV, an SUV, or an old travel trailer, my daughter is heading up in that direction with something from the 50s, one of those old retro things.
Airstream.
With the family. Yeah, well, it's not an Airstream, but it's one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of heading north. Well, that's got to be a place to stop. There's no question about it. It's beautiful, you know, the whole area. And then, of course, if you want to stop in and talk to Patrick and mention my name, he'll charge you double. Anyway, we're going to have to take off, Patrick, but give us an idea. Now, you can go to Fish Talk Radio. You're on the left-hand side, but what is the information to reach you?
All right, so you can call our office here at 530-275-8113, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Okay.
Or you can visit us. We're on Facebook, too. We can look up Shasta Lake Camping.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
And you can find us right there, and then ask us any questions, and we'll shoot back responses.
Perfect. Thank you, Patrick. And if that phone number is 530-275-8113, and maybe Patrick will tell you about what's going on. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help. You're great on the radio.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
All righty.
Take care.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Tom Raftican. We appreciate you tuning in.